This is a Suno India production, and you're listening to Cyber Democracy. This podcast is in association with Internet Freedom Foundation. Check out their work on internetfreedom.in. Cambridge Analytica is popularly known to influence voters across the world, including the US elections of 2016 and UK Leave EU referendum. It is said Cambridge Analytica has around 5,000 attributes of every voter collected from social media and other private data brokers. Cambridge Analytica used this information to micro-target political advertisements to voters, essentially telling them what they wanted to hear based on their data. The BJP has initiated a missed call campaign to show support to the Citizenship Amendment Act. Usually, these are data collection exercises to know supporters and micro-target them with misinformation and disinformation. In this episode, I speak to Shivam Shankar Singh, a political analyst and author. His book, How to Win an Indian Election, What Political Parties Don't Want You to Know, talks in detail about the misuse of data and social media by political parties in India. Welcome to Cyber Democracy, Shivam. So I just want to start with this whole missed calls campaign. Why do you think this is happening? Is it just a data collection exercise, or does the BJP get anything out of this?
So this missed call campaign is actually a very surprising one for me personally, because any membership drive that happens over missed call is obviously a drive to assess support and a drive to collect data of your own supporters. This missed call campaign, on the other hand, came about after BJP had actually not done so well on Twitter polls and other media. So it is a data collection exercise in the sense that data is being collected and it will be used for a lot of different purposes. But considering how the IT cell went about it and just basically sent out the number saying that if you give a missed call on this number, you'll get a free Netflix subscription, or even women tweeting out that, oh, give me a missed call and contact me on this number. That just makes the data really useless in the sense that it's not segregated data anymore. It's not data of your supporters or of the people who support CAA. It's just random data at that point of time.
So what you're essentially saying is this is just to show to the people that there is some support for the bill.
That is what I would assume by the way that they've gone about the data collection drive.
But when you see the door-to-door campaigns on the ground where they're actually trying to go convince the people on the ground that it's a good thing, and at the same time, you see that there are BJP party workers who are collecting more information by posing as government employees. There are videos which are popping up with them dressing up as police, with them dressing up as some gas company service providers, and they're collecting data like religion, number of people in the family. Why is the BJP using these sneaky tactics to collect information? Don't they already have most of this information?
They actually have a lot of data already. But the thing is that with telecom data specifically in India, you need to keep updating it. Phone numbers actually change really frequently. If you go down into a certain section of society, it's only the upper middle class and the rich people of India who maintain a phone number for a really long time. Most people, when they see a cheaper plan somewhere, they just need to update their families and maybe 10, 15 people about their new number. So they switch really fast. Data collection will have to be a continuous exercise. Also, if you look at something like going door to door and collecting caste and religion, it's going to be a lot more accurate than whatever data set mapping has happened right now through the existing data sets. It might also very well be a data checking exercise where they see if the data set that they already have from different sources actually matches the data on the ground. And BJP has actually realized the value of data when they've gone into micro-targeting. When they want to send out a message, say about jobs or the youth, they will only target people who are in the youth demographic who already have a job. If they want a different message about unemployment and how situation is going to change in the coming days, they will target people who are unemployed. And these data sets are actually available. There are HR companies, there are huge databases that are created by online job portals. there's also governmental data that comes through the employment exchange, that level of targeting, and then the level of targeting based on caste and religion, which a lot of people know about and talk about these days, it's all happening. So the competitive advantage that BJP once had, it will have to maintain through the creation of new data sets that go deeper and deeper into you as an individual.
So you mentioned electoral profiling, or rather targeted advertisements. So at some level, all the data that they collect is being segregated, and depending upon what the supporter base is and depending upon how they want to influence the public, they use this information to launch campaigns. Can you tell more about how the BJP IT cell does this? I mean, do they really figured out a way to manipulate public opinions and perceptions?
Definitely. If you look at, as an example, I will use the Pulwama attacks and Balakot, because that is a brilliant exercise in shaping public opinion that the BJP and the IT cell basically succeeded in. What happened was that BJP already has a large number of WhatsApp groups that it knows is full of its own supporters. That is where the campaigning started one day after Pulwama, with songs coming in about how the real enemy is within the country and its people destroying India from within, and it's not some Pakistani, it's not the outsiders. And then after Balakot, after people were already emotional about the issue of our soldiers dying, that is when they switched the messaging to Narendra Modi is the only person in the country who can fight Pakistan, who can stand strongly, who can attack Pakistan like this. And there is absolutely no alternative in the country. For this messaging to succeed, you need to have an existing infrastructure ready. That is where the data comes in. They want their supporters segregated into silos. It cannot be just a random WhatsApp group, because someone will write against all of this too. When pictures went viral after the Balakot attack of people who died in the heat wave in Pakistan, and then that was claimed as being people who died in the airstrike. Something like that, if it happened in a very neutral group, someone would post a correction, and then there would be a debate on it. These groups are created in such a way that there is no debate, there is no discussion. It plays in with people's existing biases, so they just believe it. For separate kind of messaging, this was something that happened at the national scale. But if you look at state elections right now, the BJP is not doing very well. They haven't been able to form the government in Maharashtra. They've lost pretty badly in Jharkhand, which does come as a surprise for the party itself. They're blaming it on local leadership and the chief minister, but they also realize that the national level messaging does not work for state level elections. The whole messaging on NRC might and CAA might help them during the 2024 elections, but state elections, it clearly isn't working at all. So they will use new data sets, and they will use new state level messaging mechanisms and narratives to actually help win these elections.
So essentially, they're creating filter bubbles of groups where a certain set of group might like about national security. So they sell national security to them. And there are a certain set of groups which might like development in the country or foreign policy, and you sell that to them.
There are also a lot of caste-based groups within the same state. The group actually tell you about how BJP is promoting the interests of that specific caste group. And there are also a lot of local conflict between different caste groups. These groups actually tell you that BJP is on your side in the specific conflict, and this is what they're doing, this is what the local leadership is doing. So these kinds of messaging at the local level are also extremely important for the BJP's campaign.
But at some level, we're seeing that the national campaign or the IT cell at the national level is not really able to cope up with the ongoing protests against the CAA. And we see that there are polls which are backfiring.
So yes, Twitter, actually BJP has lost control over. And I was also quoted in some article, say about like 6 or 7 months ago, right before the national elections. And what's happened is that a lot of organic, a lot of big handles that supported BJP from say 2014 to 2018 got disillusioned with the party in 2019. And this organic support base has disappeared. The IT cell itself utilizes a lot of techniques like using bot accounts, posting it on a lot of WhatsApp groups and people coming in and voting and retweeting from there. But the value of large accounts who have an organic following is still very valuable on Twitter. It's something that is important when you try to run a poll or try to run a trend, that it cannot be replaced with bot accounts with, say, 50 followers. And that the BJP has lost out on.
So is it very specific to Twitter then? Or are we seeing this trend in other platforms? What about Facebook, TikTok, WhatsApp?
This is a very Twitter-specific thing for right now, at least. Because Twitter is one of the only platforms where people get to see what the other silo is talking about. It's still interconnected. If you look at other platforms like WhatsApp and Facebook, they're still very much contained within their own silos. If you do not follow a pro-BJP page, you will not see pro-BJP messaging. If you do not like and follow an anti-BJP page, you will not see anti-BJP messaging.
So at some level, Twitter is still an open-ended platform. So it's not entirely filter bubbles. So we do know what's happening everywhere.
Exactly. So if you go to Facebook groups, there are a lot of Facebook groups that are pro-BJP that officially not part of the party unit, but managed and related to the party. These groups, if you look at, then there is so much support for the SA and for the NRC. Just the narrative that we'll throw Bangladeshis out of this country. If they did a poll over there, it's going to be over 99% saying that, okay, CA is good and NRC is good. Because that is the ecosystem and that is the opinion that they've been seeing.
So let me ask you this. What we have seen in terms of trends, like in democracy, is there was a lot of generation of data about individuals with the Aadhaar project. Once collection of data, there was a lot of collection of data, there was a lot of distribution of data. We see several government departments collecting it. And this is around the same time you see that the BJP has figured out the importance of social media. And there was a change in how the way the country was moving ahead. And to me, the Aadhaar project converted people, or rather citizens, it made citizens into users. While citizens had rights, users did not. Unless you had an Aadhaar, you were not recognized and all of that. Are we seeing something similar in terms of how people as voters are interacting with political parties? Is it becoming too automated? Is data turning people into consumers?
So I wouldn't say that exactly, because even if you look at a consumer is someone who subscribes to your product. You do advertising to tell them about the benefits of a product per se. What's happening out here is that people are into different silos and they're being messaged in such a way so that their emotions can be taken over and their emotion leads them to support a specific party. What's happening right now is that an opinion of a certain individual who is in these WhatsApp groups, who is on Twitter, who is, say, on these Facebook pages, their opinions are being shaped by a party. And the party does not see it as a project for just votes. It's not something that, okay, this is the person that I want to convert into a voter. It's actually become much larger than that. It's that this is a person whose ideology I want to convert into this. It's a big social change project at this point of time, rather than just like selling and marketing for BJP.
Which is really interesting that this is not limited to elections, but it's more to morphing the society or changing the society, nudging it towards what the BJP wants it to. And at some level, I think it's also changing the social dynamics of how you interact with others.
Oh, definitely, definitely. If you look at the country itself from 2014 to right now, the interactions that you have with people, the discussions that you have, and just the amount of anger in the general public on both sides, the anger and the depression. Economic narrative being on one side, like to be honest, I haven't met any business in the last one and a half years who says that they're doing well and they're doing better than they were in the earlier years. But even other than that, socially, people are at an edge. They're stressed out. The closest parallel that I've found to this is basically the US after September 11th. After the Twin Towers fell down, then there was a campaign about terror and about how insecure America was that converted people's opinion to pro the Iraq war. And people were stressed. People were on an edge. And there are a lot of people who became actually scared of flying. People just kept talking about terrorism for months on end, even though no new terrorist attack happened. That is probably the closest parallel to what's happening in India right now, mindset-wise. Everyone is stressed. Everyone is worried. People who disagree with CAA and NRC are as worried as people who agree with it, because they feel that the country is being taken over by Muslims. It's being taken over by Bangladeshis. And this is the message that they're seeing. So even they're not happy. They're just emotionally on the side that BJP wants them to be on.
So this is really interesting that you mentioned the Twin Tower attacks, because if you look at what happened in India, it was the Bombay attacks of 26/11 that actually pushed the government to initiate the NPR project. And at the same time, we realized that the people who are sneaking into the country, according to certain political parties, that are attacking us or that are prone to attack us in future, and we don't know who a citizen is and who is an alien is. But what essentially is happening is, instead of protecting us from outsiders, we are turning that rage, the government rather is turning that rage onto citizens. And it's using, I would say, the whole NPR exercise to do that. How do you see the collection of data within NPR, for example, the variables like voter ID, Aadhaar, driver's license, mobile number, part of the NPR exercise? Will that help BJP in any way? Because in the recent past, we have seen voter data collected through Aadhaar in states like Andhra Pradesh was used for electoral profiling. Do you think this data could be dangerous in the hands of the government?
Yes, this data is definitely vulnerable to being used for political purposes. But just the collection drive itself is worrying in and of itself, especially if it's going to lead to, say, the NRC. If there is to be a nationwide NRC, and that is why the NPR is being made, which is something that government documents actually talk about, which is something that the Home Minister has himself talked about in the past, about how these things are interlinked. The CAA, then the NPR, and then the NRC. It is going to basically destroy the country, not just based on its social fabric, but also that just collecting this level of data, the entire country and the entire government machinery is going to be engaged in just collecting and verifying these documents. Once you've declared someone a non-citizen, obviously they're going to appeal to the highest level of court systems possible. If the system allows them to, then they will go to the high courts, they will go to the Supreme Courts. So you will choke up the court system for the next 10 years. Other than that, if you cannot exactly send people to Bangladesh, even if you claim they are Bangladeshis, it's almost impossible that Bangladesh is going to accept them and take these people back. So you're going to end up keeping them in detention centers. Just like the beginning of the data collection exercise is worrying, because it's going to be a fiscal nightmare. It's going to be a nightmare data-wise. The political utility of the data is another worry that people are going to have, or really should have. I just don't know why this exercise is something that would happen. It's just something that, if it was a political tool, if BJP was just talking about it for votes, that is one thing. But personally, I feel that there is some commitment towards doing it. Similarly, as in demonetization, they believed it was a good idea. With this, they actually believe it's a good idea.
Which brings me to the question of, what is the Election Commission doing about it? In the past, we had the Cambridge Analytica incident. There were few whistleblowers who said there was involvement of Cambridge Analytica in India. We don't know what happened there. There were also complaints of voter profiling in Andhra Pradesh and Telangana, with Aadhaar and voter ID being linked, with the Telugu Desam Party using it for profiling. There were complaints made to the Election Commission. It was found that Aadhaar data was indeed leaked to the political party. But we don't know what UIDAI did or even what the Election Commission did. Now, with all of this happening, why is the Election Commission silent? Or is it actually acting? Or what are the other political parties doing about all of this? Aren't they complaining?
As of right now, the Election Commission hasn't really done much about it. And I don't think it's because they don't want to. It's just that they really don't know what to do about it. One instance that I saw right before 2019 is that they announced this social media monitoring, that they will monitor social media for, say, fake news and content. And then they'll message Facebook and Twitter. These companies signed a voluntary code and they would take down the fake information. But what happened was that as soon as they opened up the platform, most people, just like most parties, in fact, realized that this system is going to be so flooded with complaints that it's just not going to work. So that did not happen. Similarly, with data, the Election Commission doesn't know how they prevent it. Who do they contact? It's not a body that can make legislation, so they cannot exactly outlaw the use of data, and they have no enforcement mechanism. So even if they say this data is illegal to use, there's no enforcement mechanism with the Election Commission to actually stop it. That's why I think they've just chosen to ignore the issue outright. there hasn't really been any discussion of data usage within the Election Commission that I know of.
So this brings the whole question of whether a data protection law can solve this, whether the upcoming bill that's already introduced in the Lok Sabha and which is being put under the review of the Joint Parliamentary Committee, will the bill look into it? Will political parties come into the ambit of the Data Protection Authority? Do you think that's a good sign? Or with the exemptions that the government is getting, political parties will find a way to bypass this?
So here's the thing. The Data Protection Bill is actually mostly a data collection and aggregation bill. If you look at the bill itself, then it gives the government so many exemptions that the government can make a lot of linked data sets within the provisions of the bill. Once these data sets exist, political parties will get access to it. Even if you deem it to be illegal for political parties to have it, it will not stay within political parties. They will create entities outside that get access to all of this data, and then they do the outreach campaigns. So once you have allowed a government entity to aggregate all of this data for you, vet it for you, ensure that it's a good and credible data set, you've basically done 99% of the work for the political party. It just needs to take the data and give it to someone else. In that way, it's a pretty terrible bill.
So this whole idea of linking data sets is a really bad concept, and that needs to go away. The Supreme Court judgment on right to privacy actually allows you the option to not give up your data. But somehow the government is bulldozing us in the name of economy. But we see that the economy is going nowhere. But data collection is something which is being pushed hard by the political parties. I have one last question. Has the BJP really figured out the way to manipulate Indians? I mean, do they really think that collecting data and influencing them is going to help them stay in power forever? When the actual economy is going down, people are on the streets, but they're still pushing data collection.
So the thing that it comes down to is that the party will do anything and everything it can do to stay in power. The economy right now is something that I think even they understand that they don't have much to do anymore. There are no bright ideas. There are no strong ministers with a vision for the country's economic future. The party and the government as in the politicians who are in the government right now as ministers, and the prime minister and the home minister's office, all of these offices together have mostly become an election fighting machine. On the economy, like if you look at the meeting that the prime minister himself chaired, the finance minister wasn't there in a meeting at Niti Aayog to discuss the economy. Just something like that is a very telling sign on where everything is economy-wise. If they cannot win on the economic narrative, then they need a different narrative to win on. That different narrative and pushing that narrative to the voters will come about through data collection.
Do you see this stopping somewhere? Like, will the US or other countries have to intervene on platforms like Twitter and WhatsApp, which are some ways enabling this?
With Indian data collection, international companies are actually really happy with it. If you see the amount of data that is being collected, then there are a lot of companies that think they can use these for marketing purposes. If a company can get access to data sets as good as what the political parties have, they can run product campaigns on it. They can send you advertising. Even mobile number data right now, like the Do Not Disturb registry is failing in India right now. Anyone who has a mobile phone whose number has gone to any data set in the country is probably getting messages about buying properties, renting office spaces, buying office spaces with assured rents, healthcare services, getting your blood tested. All of these things are something that private companies want to do. They are not against data collection at all. The government itself, for its internal purposes, because Twitter and Facebook haven't been great for any democracy across the world, there might be some regulation that is brought in, but I do not see it happening too soon. For one, most governments do not understand what the technological solution is with something like Facebook and Twitter. People are talking about breaking up these big global entities in US politics right now. But how a broken up entity would continue to function is something that I still don't have much understanding about. Neither do I see it as something that could work out very well.
Since you mentioned regulations, there is an upcoming regulation on social media, which is the Intermediary Liability Regulations rules. The government promised the Supreme Court that it's going to bring these rules by January 15th. Do you think the government will get more control over these global giants, and will you use that to influence domestic politics over these platforms as well?
If there is any kind of penal provision within any bill or law, it is something that the government can use to control entities and citizens. If the government has the discretion to determine when they get penalized and when they don't, then it is definitely a tool for control over these entities.
Thank you, Shivam. Thank you for being on Cyber Democracy.
Thank you for listening to the episode of Cyber Democracy. You can listen to this podcast on sonoindia.in or any other podcast app of your choice. As independent producers, we rely on you, our listeners, to support us. So please visit the support page on our website, sonoindia.in, and contribute generously.